Today, the scripture is from the book of Ephesians, which is one of the letters Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and that was sent on to other churches. Listen with attention to what Paul tells us that will bring unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until they all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and became mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Paul wrote this letter to Christian communities that he had helped start. And he was in the prisons in Rome, receiving letters about things that are happening within the community, questions, frustrations from the church leaders that were left behind. Gosh, if Paul hadn't been in prison, we as Christians today wouldn't have these important words to weave into the fabric of who we are as a church. But because he was, and these words were written down and were cherished by the early Christian community, we have them to cherish and hear today. Janelle, you did a great children's sermon. Thank you. I should just let it stay where you left it. It was so good. We have the Holy Spirit in our presence. But the Holy Spirit can be blown out. We can separate ourselves as a church for God's holy presence with us. And Paul says, I don't want to see that happen. I want you to hold on to these core values and not just know them by word, but have them entrenched in your heart, a part of your living and character, each day of your life as a part of the community of faith. He knew that the church in Corinth and some of the other churches were a mixed bag of new believers. There were Jewish Christians there that had a clear idea of what they thought living in faith meant. The rituals, the details that kept them in a spirit with Christ. But there were also Christians from the Greek community who had grown up with Greek philosophy and the Greek mythologies. So they had their own customs. And so the two groups had conflict about those kind of things. Then sitting in the community were some that were people of wealth. Then there were some that were slaves. There was so much diversity and also pressure from the community at large. Remember, Paul is writing this at a time as the early Christian church is being attacked by Nero and different leaders within the communities. So Paul knew it was essential for them to know the ingredients to weave into their life together. There's a certain character that fits a Christian. As an early Christian, it came to me one day that if people didn't recognize by my actions, by my behavior, that I was a child of God, me saying it was a weak witness. I wanted people to know it by who I was and how I lived. And I can't say I've always lived up to what I knew God wanted me to be, but God always gave me that goal. And I hope that in some small way, I've honored my relationship with Christ. We need to think about how we relate to each other, even in the Christian community. Paul says 7 times in the beginning of that scripture, one. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. We are a unit of Christ, a unit of God. We have diversity, but we're held together by that core relationship with Christ. And we need to protect it and honor it in our character with each other. Character requires deeds, not just words. My great-grandparents would have in their home had a fireplace. And in the cook stove, which is often in a building off from the main house, there would have been embers that would be kept watch over through the night. The fire embers were always kept going. Because if they went out, there would be no food, no water, no food, no warmth, no ability to do the daily chores that families needed. But it is easy to become distracted and lose sight of what must be cherished and taken care of. Paul says we are to bear with one another in love. We keep the unity of the Spirit by honoring each other in love and peace. Now, that's not always easy, is it? Sometimes there are things that spouses put up with each other that takes a big slathering of love to cover it up. And we don't need to talk about that, do we? But it's a reality. It's the same thing in the Christian community. It means that we accept and honor each other's oddities. When faced with contentious issues, Paul tells us not to attack each other, not to undermine each other, not to try to gain victory over each other, but instead to bear with one another in love until we can come to a meeting of the minds. My mother had a policy. I don't think it was necessarily a wise parenting policy in how she acted it out, but whenever we children, there were four of us, were out playing and doing something, and we got into, it was not just a squabble, a big blow up in the yard. You could always hear us before we came in. Somebody come in crying, "Mama!" And they'd name one of us, "Did so-and-so to me." And the other would come, "Well, you don't know, Mama, what they did." And she'd say, "Stop it. You're all guilty." And we'd all receive my mother's understanding of corporal punishment. I think what Paul is saying is we need to remember, we need to respect each other. And all of us are sinners. All of us are not 100% right. And all of us need to listen to one another. And that includes hard-headed ministers. Important issues must be addressed, but we must do it with respect for one another. So we speak the truth, even if it's hard to hear, with kindness. If any of you guys ever had your wife say, "Honey, do you think this makes me look too fat?" And it really does. You know you don't say, "Oh yeah, honey, you look like 50 pounds of potato in a 5-pound sack." Yeah, you say that, and the doghouse would be a good place for you. We have to say it with kindness. Or say it's not important to hurt that person over this. It's not important to tear our church apart over this. My first church in Magnolia, Delaware, if you ever go there and you go to that church and you go in and you sit and look up at the altar area, there's a red velvet curtain across the altar. As a young pastor, I came and I said to my lay leader, Margaret Paul, who was just still is one of the dearest people in my life, I said, "Margaret, what's behind that curtain?" She said, "Look." So this was, nobody was in the church, so I pulled it away. And somebody who had some talent as a painter, but not enough talent, had decided to paint a huge mural of Jesus beckoning the little children. It wasn't bad till you got to Jesus' hand, and it looked like a big lobster claw. But nobody checked out how gifted that person was. So when they decided they'd paint this mural for the church, it got up there and it caused controversy. Everybody had an opinion about the painting. Well, some of the members, their daughter had a wedding. So the next council meeting after the wedding pictures came back, they brought the pictures, they put it on the table. They said, "Let's talk about our altar picture." In every picture, the claw was coming out from behind the bride or the groom's hand. It was just kind of scary. And this friend said, "Now, what can we do to not hurt this person and make them think we don't appreciate what they did?" So they came up with a curtain. And they said at the meeting, "We'll put the curtain up. And when we have a special occasion, we can always pull it back." That's how they did it in love. Things aren't always settled that easily. But God will give us a way, if we trust God, to settle our differences in love. Today, God tells us to have patience with one another. And to have patience with God's time. And that we are to work with each other with humility and gentleness. You may know something about someone that may be very true, but it's a painful part of their life. You don't have to pass that along. One of the dilemmas in my young adult life was with a very dear friend. I married she and her husband. And I came back a year later to visit. And her husband did something totally inappropriate to me when she wasn't around. No one was around. And it just shook me to my core, and I had a few choice words for him. Later on, one of the young women that worked with my friend, who was just 18, talked to me. And he had been offering himself in a very aggressive way to this young girl, and she didn't know what to do. So she and I talked, and I gave her some advice. But I still didn't know what to do with my friend because she was so in love with her husband. She didn't see him for who he really was. And I went to a very dear friend who loved her as much as I did. And we talked about it and prayed about it together. I said, "Patty, do you think I ought to tell her?" She said, "Pam, will any good come out of it?" I said, "I don't want to see her hurt." She said, "God will watch over her." So after a long talk, I agreed with Patty that neither one of us would tell her what her husband was like. Now, I don't know if that was the right thing, but it was a kind thing. Years later, my friend found out on her own, and their marriage ended because he wouldn't change. Y'all, we come to some times when we face some really hurtful and ugly things. Don't spread them to add the hurt and let it extend into the Christian community. Handle each other with tenderness and know how we'd feel if something we were embarrassed about would come out in our Christian community. Gentleness is one of the greatest gifts that can be in the spirit of the church. People who think before they say, who let someone else get the praise even if they've done the work. We have to have humility and patience and gentleness and bear with one another in love and do everything we can to hold ourselves together in the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace. It takes a lot of work, but oh my, the great, great gift that comes for the church. This week, something very sad happened in the parsonage backyard. There is a beautiful, tall live oak tree. It's well over 40 feet tall, and it had two big branches. And one evening, I was sitting in the den, and this tells you how dense I am. I heard this boom, and my dog, who's pretty brave, screamed and ran over where I was. She was sleeping over near the kitchen. And I thought, "What are you so upset about, Belle?" And then after it was over, I got up the next morning and went out, and the big limb had come down. Not the whole tree, but this gigantic limb, and it stretched across the backyard onto the bushes and what I didn't see at the time, the power line behind us. I want to tell you what great trustees we have. Ken Wood came over, Chuck came over, Mike came over. They've worked for most of this week in the heat trying to get rid of the remnants of that limb. SCE&G came over. They had a guy in the bucket and 15 guys with them. And I thought, why so many? They stood in a circle protecting the guy in the bucket. That is what we need to do for one another, whether we like each other or not. But when we began to examine the beautiful old live tree, oak tree, it wasn't lightning that had knocked the limb. It wasn't a wind or storm. It was rot inside the tree itself. Somehow, over the years, water and insects had gotten inside and chewed out a huge core of the tree. It was beautiful when I first saw it, but I had no idea what was inside. Folks, the church is precious like that oak tree was in that backyard. More precious to God. But it is so easy to let things get in us, small things that destroy us from the inside, make us not be that body of Christ, the image God has for us. And over time, even churches that appear strong on the outside begin to fall apart. That's not going to happen here. Y'all have been focused and committed to help this church grow and have a vision for the next 10 years, the next 50 years, and do it with intentionality. But we need to be sure these precious ingredients stay a part of the flavor of this church and the people who call themselves Bethel members. Today, we will share this holy meal. And the ancestors of this church, who are no longer with us, will be sharing this meal with us, because the scriptures say, and the saints, all the saints, living and dead, will commune with us. They're watching over us. They're praying for us. And they're encouraging us to be in the spirit of Jesus Christ. It's up to you and me to have the right character. Amen and amen.